As part of celebrating and honoring the women of South Africa, we're going to be taking a look at how it is that we can better improve the preparedness of women in boardrooms as well as in board-related situations. This is a critical aspect of where it is that we need to see representation, and it is important that where we have that opportunity, that we have the most prepared candidates possible to step into these particular roles. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with the Institute of Directors in South Africa. I'm joined on the line by the Chief Executive Officer of the Institute, Padmi Natasan, to take a look at this and see what to make of it. Padmi, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. How important is it to understand board readiness, understand boardroom dynamics, especially as women in largely what has been male-dominated spaces?
Yes, thank you, Jimmy, and thank you for inviting me. I think it's critically important for both men and women to be ready to take a board position, to understand what the role requires. You know, what I often find is that there's a misconception out there that being appointed as a non-executive director seems like a cushy job, for want of a better word, in that people think, well, it's just 4 meetings a year and I get this big fee. But what people don't see is that becoming a director on a board of an organization comes with legal duties and responsibilities. It comes with risk to yourself personally. And it also comes with potential legal liability down the line if you don't fulfill those duties. And so I think it's exceptionally important. You know, board positions are positions of accountability. They're positions of service. They're not necessarily positions of recognition or of stature. And I think that's really one misconception. You know, would you take a job or a role as a teacher or a medical doctor if you weren't trained and educated and experienced in doing that job? Probably not. But for some or other reason, for directorship, people tend to want to put up their hands very quickly without understanding the role, their readiness to serve that role. And really, you know, we talk about ethics and effectiveness. Now, effectiveness is, do you have the competence to serve? And with that competence comes confidence. So you put your hand up when you feel confident enough that you have the skills and experience to be able to do the job well. Alongside that, we talk about ethics, and I'm going to go as far as to say, you know, if individuals are applying for roles that they're not ready for, that's almost an ethics question, because you should be really assured that you have the necessary competencies in order to serve.
Pardon me, when we look at readiness, a part of that readiness includes adequate and relevant training. We often don't think about board positions as positions that require training or that have the need for having individuals be trained up on certain issues. And I want to look at what dangers that poses if we forget about the training aspect of it, because readiness goes beyond just saying the person or the candidate has the correct qualifications, but there's a level of experience, a level of preparedness that comes with it.
Yes, I agree. You know, there are so many things, and we actually at the Institute of Directors a number of years ago developed what we call a director competency framework, which lists the competencies that are required in order for someone to be able to serve effectively as a director. And within there, there's technical competencies on the one hand. So what are the things you need to know, the technical things, your legal duties in the Companies Act? How to interpret and understand a set of financial statements, even if you are not a financial person. You know, the difference between solvency and liquidity. There's all these technical things, integrated reporting. Now we're moving towards sustainability reporting. There's all these technical things that you have to have been. And these are not necessarily things that are covered in education or in degrees. A lot of it gets covered in your experience as you work your way up through the ranks of an organization. And that's why that experience portion of it is so critical. So you want knowledge, skills, and experience in order to serve at the level of non-executive directorship. And it's a different level to being in an executive position. So I would have people coming to me to say, I'm an excellent lawyer, I'm an excellent accountant, I'm an excellent company secretary, I'm ready now to be a non-executive. And I'd say, but that's a completely different competency and skill that you need to have. So what makes you think you're ready? And it's really about people understanding that when you're an executive, you have a whole lot of information upon which you base your decisions and your actions. When you're a non-executive, there's an asymmetry of information. So you're getting information from the executives, let's say once a quarter in a board meeting. You need to be able to interpret, analyze, read, question, ask yourself, does this whole picture fit together? Does this all make sense? How can we be performing so well, but the rest of the organizations in our industry aren't? Why aren't we experiencing the challenges that other organizations are experiencing? I often tell people, when you read a board pack, it's not always what's on the page that you need to be worried about. It's actually what's not on the page. And that's where the skill of asking the right questions comes into place. Now, the risk, which was part of your question, is imagine an organization which has such a massive role in society, right? Organizations employ people. They provide services. They contribute to our fiscus through taxes and all of these things. And imagine if that organization doesn't survive and thrive because people are being appointed onto boards who don't have the skill to understand what their role is. Because essentially that board of directors is the one that drives the strategy of the organization and oversees the performance of that organization. So it's absolutely risky from both an organizational perspective and an individual's perspective to take the role without understanding what the role entails. And you may have younger, you know, less experienced directors who need to start with the basics of understanding their legal duties, fiduciary duties, etc., in terms of the legislation, understanding strategic oversight versus operational management, understanding risks and opportunities in the industry. There are all these things that can be learned. There are also other things that when you join the board that you need to do in terms of a thorough induction to understand this organization, its industry, how it operates, how you can add value very quickly. And then apart from that, even experienced directors, ones who have been around the boardroom table for a long time, they also need to do continuous professional development because, as we know, the world is changing all the time. You know, we've just released King 5 last year in October. So if people went on training 2 years ago, they were being trained on King 4 principles. And now King 5 is in place. So it just means you need to be keeping up to date all the time, every year, in order to really treat this as a profession as it deserves to be treated.
If you're just joining us, we're in conversation with the Chief Executive Officer of the Institute of Directors in South Africa, Professor Padme Natasan, taking a look at board readiness, board preparedness in the context of empowerment and how it is that we achieve that. Pardon me, this year we're celebrating the theme of empowered women empower nations, and that's quite telling of where it is that we need to be focusing our efforts if we are to achieve greater inclusion and greater growth from a nation, from a national perspective. I want to get your thoughts on perhaps how it is that we start to think about the practical aspects of ensuring that we are adequately prepared for these conversations and for these positions. We've seen a lot of companies do quite a good job at promotion, internal empowerment, and building a stronger pipeline of internal candidates within their own respective organizations. That's resulted in us almost seeing a very different kind of boardroom environment that we have in 2026, perhaps to what we may have had 10, 20 years ago. How is it that companies themselves are now starting to leverage off of being prepared or better preparing their own internal candidates for board positions? And what could we learn from that as perhaps individuals that sit outside these companies?
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, the sort of trends that we've seen over the years. And I have to say, South Africa is actually up there if you look at the percentage of females on boards worldwide. South Africa is not doing that badly. And I think it's got to do with our history of, you know, inequality and our history of legislation that requires employment equity and broad-based economic empowerment, etc., that possibly pushes us up there. But having said that, if we, let's say, in around the 20% of women serving on boards, we have to understand that that's quite a lot lower than, for example, we know that research shows that women control majority of consumer spending. Women are forming a larger and larger portion of the educated workforce. So, you know, in terms of the growth of women in business, we should see a growth of women on boards to over that 20% sort of mark. And yes, as you say, many organizations have plans in place in terms of the pipeline they're building, which is actually really encouraging. And I do think we're moving in the right direction. And I've seen progress over the years. But I think there's a couple of more things that organizations can be doing. I think, you know, recruitment is one where I think there's possibility to look beyond the usual networks. And especially when people are recruiting for non-executive director positions, which are almost, you know, not people employed in the organization. So they're almost coming in sort of independent and fresh into the organization to serve on that board. And you often find that organizations you know, may within their networks of their current board members say, does anyone know someone we could approach to fill this vacancy? Whereas I think they could widen the pool a little bit and consider, you know, our wider candidates in that search. The other thing is to invest early in the development of individuals. And, you know, for example, we have at the Institute of Directors two director designations, and the entry designation is called Certified Director. And we actually do pick up that some organizations are already encouraging and sponsoring the women in their organizations to come and do the program and write the exams and get certified. And that's almost a signal to the market that these individuals have been tested and vetted and that they have the necessary skills and competencies in order to serve. So I think that's important. And then even formal mentorship and coaching, et cetera, within organizations, which I think does happen, possibly giving people exposure to governance discussions before they've even been appointed to the boards, you know, inviting some of the maybe senior management into observe board committee meetings, for example, where typically an executive would be at the meeting presenting information. Perhaps the senior manager who reports to the executive could be also be invited as an observer into the meeting, just so that they can start getting exposed to how the boardroom works. And then succession planning is another important thing for organizations. So to really be thinking, and it's not always a comfortable topic, but to really be thinking about who is next in the pipeline, what can we do to expose them early, to give them the necessary training, guidance, coaching, etc., to get them board ready so that when a vacancy does arise, you know, there's nothing then standing in their way. They're ready to take on that opportunity.
Pardon me, you mentioned that for board positions in particular and for boardroom conversations in particular, being ready and understanding what it is that you're ready for becomes that much more important. And I want to get your thoughts on how it is that someone out there that isn't perhaps on a board at this stage, that is looking at their career path and thinking perhaps a board position is the next step for my career development, how do we navigate that, particularly as a woman that might not have the relationships in the particular company, or that might not have the experience that we discussed earlier, or that might not have any indication or any idea of how to go about being board ready and preparing themselves for that? Where would you say is the best starting point in that conversation?
I think that's a bit of a difficult conversation, because I do think there's baby steps and sort of levels which people need to build up within an organization in order to sort of get there. I do think as individuals are firstly excellent at the jobs that they're doing currently, they will get more and more exposure to elevate that and to gain more experience in the organization and more exposure to these things. There's also opportunities to book and attend training, and we sort of train thousands of people every year as an example. And one of the training courses that we've done is in the past is a board simulation. So we actually simulate a board meeting and issue board packs to the delegates, and they actually run through a simulated board meeting as if they were the board of directors. And that's always an exciting and interesting one for individuals who have never perhaps been inside a boardroom. The other very important part that I think people perhaps neglect at times, and it's one of the main reasons people join us as a member, one of the main benefits that our members state they appreciate, is the ability to network with the right level of people. So if individuals are serious about becoming a non-executive director in the future, or even an executive director in the future, are they exposing themselves to the right type of networks? Who are going to be able to guide them, advise them, even if it's not personal one-on-one networks, it could just be attending things like roundtables and webinars, etc. I hosted one this morning, in fact, for Women's Month on really women reaching, you know, the helm within organizations and their journey and how they got there and the struggles and how they managed to overcome them. And I think all of these things just adds to strengthening the ability of women to be successful in their roles and to grow within their organizations to higher levels.
strengthening the readiness of ensuring that we achieve a better preparedness and corporate readiness, especially where it relates to boardroom and board conversations. It is imperative that we make sure that in all of the conversations that we're having around empowerment, that we are thinking about it at all different levels. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. Institute of Directors in South Africa, Chief Executive Officer Prof. Padmanabhan joining us to take a look at how it is that we better improve board readiness and board preparedness.